This is CliffCentral.com.
Won't you look at us, all spick and span, third day of the new year, it's the second day of the show, we're back, a professional bunch, I'm proud of us team, I'm proud of us.
Damn right.
Yeah.
I've never sat in this seat before and I feel so odd, it's like the first time I'm speaking into a microphone.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to This is the Gareth Cliff Show. Sans Gareth Cliff. My name is Sia Sangweni, hanging out with Ben Karpinski this morning. And also still keeping up with the ever so cool little one who decided to stop by and hang out with us this week, Sinazo. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Woke up with a bit of a, I don't know, what do you call the,
hangover?
No, it's,
yeah,
it feels like,
I don't know. Where
I'm sure it feels
this?
Like a hangover, but it's not. I was bloated. And yes, and then I had like, I wanted to vomit, but now I'm all good.
Don't
I don't know why.
On us.
No, no, but now I'm all good now. Okay. So I don't know. It's probably the early morning.
It is. Early mornings, it is the worst thing you can do as a human being.
All right.
The only beings that wake up early morning are the ones that physically have to hunt for food. Like, we've already got that. We've got kitchens.
We've got everything.
We've got shops. We don't need to get up this early. But
yeah.
So this is all
we make a professional choice.
That's what you're saying.
Well, my body's feeling it.
Well, if you missed yesterday's show, it was our very first show of the new year, and we got to catch up about what we were all doing over the festive season, our little break, and also getting to know Sinazo, who's from the Eastern Cape, who has a journalism background, a whole advertising and PR background as well, and so that's why she's spending the week with us here as well. And Ben, you were saying things feel a bit weird this morning.
Well, yeah, okay, so your first day back at work, back at school, there's all this exuberance, like, yay, I'll do this second day.
Reality check.
Wow, woke up this morning and just, I couldn't.
Really?
Just couldn't. I had to have an extra 20 hours. 20.
Oh, wow.
20 hours. 20 hours. Oh, you wish.
20 minutes sleep.
Oh, we all wish.
And I sort of grumpily walked downstairs, made breakfast. And I could, like, even Meowth's sword in my face.
Yeah.
As I was, like, making her breakfast, she rubbed up my leg. It's like, it's going to be okay.
Oh,
it's going to be okay.
It's the little thing.
Just get through this. You can come back and feed me again.
Do you know we left last year off and she was kind of feeling a bit
yeah,
ill?
She was pretty ill. But she's fine. Yeah, she bounced
back.
That's
your dog?
My cat.
Oh, your cat.
So she bounced
back. A dog
back
named Meowzes?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, so a cat called Wiffles. It wouldn't quite be just right, yeah.
Yeah,
but she's cool. She's cool. She spent the last 2 days... Whoop.
Oh. This is what shows we are not ready.
Sorry, she spent the last 2 days at the pool with Daniel and I. And, we've been easing back into the work, huh?
Okay. There we go. It's the little things. Well, I'm just getting into the mood and the vibe of everything. I love the fact that it's a new year. We're already back at it. And I think it's kind of a good thing that we're already back and at work so early in the year, personally, because I just feel like it's a good work mode.
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking that yesterday as well. Yeah. And then this morning it was like, screw you and your productivity.
But it's an early start to everything. So you get a head start than everyone else.
Yes.
So you can look at it that way.
I still had that. Yesterday I left the office straight after the show because I was like sniffling and coughing all over the place. I'm still not like 100%.
Yeah, you weren't looking your best, yeah.
But I am back with a moisturizing bang this morning. I at least got to wake up and I was feeling better. But even after my nap and taking medication yesterday afternoon, I was like, oh, actually, I woke up and I got to answer some emails. I was like, oh, okay, this year is actually happening.
You started getting into it.
Exactly. I feel so much more productive.
Yeah.
So even today, so ready. So I'm that annoying person who's going to shove like New Year, New Me in
you
your face.
You know, SpongeBob. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready. I feel like that's the.
you're so right. But can you imagine like if you could be SpongeBob every single day, how much you would get done?
Oh my gosh. But don't you think that would be so annoying though to be SpongeBob every single day?
I think everyone should watch SpongeBob. I think there was a time Gareth didn't actually believe there was a thing called SpongeBob SquarePants.
Really?
So I once had a 20-minute argument with him about the actual existence of this.
You had a lot of time on your
hands. I know. I was
no, like this. Yeah. Okay, look, but this was back in the day before we Googled everything.
Uh huh.
So it wasn't quite that sort of ingrained behavior just yet.
Yeah.
And he couldn't believe it. But you got to watch that show because the thing about SpongeBob and why he is like that, he's because of innocence. As you get older, okay, yeah. I don't sound grumpy, so. But okay, as you get older, babe, you lose innocence, so less things stimulate you and wow you.
Uh huh.
So Gareth has this other thing. I talk about him because he's not here. So that's me spreading this thing. He has this thing about he wants to live forever.
Yeah.
But you can't. You physically can't because when you've seen everything, you're less interested about things.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, like something you see every single day and you see it like a bus. You're like, it's a bus.
Yeah.
Imagine you've never seen a bus before.
Do you know what I
call it? Apply that to the rest of life, and that's why SpongeBob is. Sorry.
I call it a sense of wonder. And like, yes. I don't want to get too woo in the clouds this early in the morning, but there's something about keeping a sense of wonder.
Like you passing out of the holidays. Okay, it was a real first for you, and you had a sense of wonder attached. I've passed out before a few times, so therefore I've got no sense of wonder. I've got a sense of shame about that now.
Because you know it.
Yeah, I've been there.
You've been there. Yeah.
Dude, I was actually thinking about it on my way back from Cape Town as I was flying back. And there's something about taking off on a plane for me that I always think I never want to lose a sense of wonder. Because there's this wonder, the mere fact that if you try to jump off a cliff, you would like land on the ground, splat dead in 2.3 seconds.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to go there.
That's a reality. But the fact that this massive metal thing can take off from the ground because of science and aerodynamics and whatever the case is, that is wonder to me. So I always...
So you thought all about that while you were in the air?
I always do. There's something about taking
off. So there's always a disaster in CS mine. Pretty close.
Not a disaster, actually. Different perspective. But yeah, there's something incredible about that.
You could have referenced the Wright brothers. You could have referenced the miracle of flight.
Of
the metal bird. No, you're thinking suicide splat face.
You kind of it's all encompassing. It's an all encompassing thought. That's what it is. So we aren't at this alone. We are in a conversation with you. If you do want to get in touch with us, you know what to do. You're already listening either live on cliffcentral.com or the Cliff Central app as well. But you can get in contact with us. You can call us on 0861-555-189 or you can text us on WhatsApp on 0797482090. Or if you're feeling extra special and classy this morning, you can also Skype us on Cliff Central Studio. It's that simple. And what a mouthful, everything, actually, all in all. And folks, this week is moving kind of quickly. As much as we're complaining that, like, we are getting the year started and it's a lot and we're trying to be productive, there are actually a lot of people as well who, I don't know in your social circles, but talking to a lot of people who are back at work as well. So Naza, you actually have a proper 9-to-5 as well. When you go off to your 9-to-5, how's that working out? Are people on the productive train as well?
Do you know what the thing is? Clients are still on holiday. So, especially in our department, there's not much we can do because clients are still on holiday. And only a handful of us are back at work.
See, first rule of advertising, there's always something to do. You're watching YouTube or you're on Facebook.
Oh, is that...
That's what I was doing.
That's 30% advertising is. And then you go, oh, no, I'm referencing an idea.
And he worked in advertising, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but for now, for this week, because clients are not around, they're also on holiday, so we still, you know, finishing work from last year.
Have you faced some people with those nauseating out-of-office responses? I don't know why, but this new trend is for people to get very creative with how they term their out-of-office. And I mailed someone and I literally got a selfie of them out on a beach. And I think that's them trying to be funny, like, haha, look at me, so incredible.
Wow. That's my favorite.
Yeah, not at the office. You try to, you know, be hard at work and I'm not. You like that?
I like that.
I
on the selfie
punch
one.
Them in their throat.
I'm serious. I would do that.
No.
If I could, I would. See, now that's an idea in my head. For the next time someone tries to email me, I'm like, sorry, in Mauritius.
Sorry, that doesn't exactly count for you because you're back at the office.
I know, that sucks.
Sorry, it's the little things.
It's the little things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but ours is pretty formal. You have to be formal at work with sending
it.
Depends where you work, I guess.
Well, it's also that time of the year, by the way, when matric results are just about to be released.
Yeah, those things.
IEB matric results were just released this morning, early in the morning, and that's the Independent Examinations Board, and they've reported that a 98.76 matric pass rate was achieved for 2017, and this is up fractionally from 98.67% in 2016. The IEB said that 11,464 full-time learners and 666 part-time candidates. What are part-time candidates?
Yeah, I thought school was kind of what you do as a kid.
Yeah.
I've got a job on the side.
How are you a part-time high
school student? Isn't it for those night school students or...
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Because there's some people who part-time
high school. Part-time IEB? Part-time private school?
Because it's private school. Most IEBs, night schools are private.
Oh, excuse us.
Well, I mean, not private in the sense that, you know, like, it's overly wealthy.
No, not
and, that. And, like, selective.
Well, yeah, I have
private, maybe
in my head.
Yeah.
No, like a private institution.
Look, I think if you're in your early 20s and you're trying to do matric or something, I don't think you're going to be spending all that money.
No.
You do a more conventional system. Maybe it's classed under that.
Okay. Well, let's not discount other people. There
again, we're just speculating wildly.
Yeah, so all of these candidates wrote in over 212 examination centers across Southern Africa, and they wrote their exams between October and November in 2017, and this is a great increase. So do you remember this, actually, this time of the year? When you were waiting for your results. So firstly, congratulations to all of the IEB students. I think for the rest of the pupils, I think they'll be getting their results on the 7th of Jan, if I'm not mistaken. But when I was in matric, look guys, I was not having the time of my life. So
with this,
while everyone was partying, when everyone is celebrating the new year, I was sitting at home like, oh geez, what's gonna happen? Will I pass? What will I get an A for, hopefully? I was a nervous freaking wreck. Oh yeah, absolutely.
My mom did not believe that I was gonna do well. That was
jeez, you come from a supportive
just at this stage or throughout your childhood?
It came out when I was in matric. I was like, because I was very confident because I didn't study that much. You know, I'm someone who takes in a lot in class.
Okay.
And then 2 weeks before the actual exam, I will study. And then just an hour before the exam, I'll study. Right? I went into the exam room. My mom was like, when I got my results, I got a bachelor and I got about two distinctions. It's like, wow, you're actually smart. I didn't think you were even going to get...
Yeah.
I know. She thought I was going to get like a diploma or, you know, higher certificate.
Okay. You come from higher...
No, I was the
higher
first
grade
one.
And standard grade.
We were the first people to get that.
What do you mean you come from a higher grade? Oh,
not higher grade. No, higher grade.
Well, what did they do? Like, did they reward you with raw schools?
No, well, that's like... years ago, then, like, we now just do
and
different
vibes. And see, I got the jelly baby for always wanting to try.
And a participation certificate as well. We don't do the trick certificate.
What do you?
No, I don't know what it's called. It's like OBE or something. But I'm sure
that's what the Queen gives someone who does really well. Not you.
You passed the trick with like you did certain subjects like higher grade or standard grade. Yeah.
Sure. I wasn't there. No, that's not me. I'm not that old.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, sure. It's not so, like I have
talked about layers right now.
I really don't know what the correct term is called, but it's a new system. It's
they
not
got like.
Good. I mean, this is education to me. You can carry on with this.
It's horrible. It is so bad. Like you got 40% and you were like, "Wow, you passed." I was like,
"Yes,
how do
because,
you?
Yeah,
how do you get
yeah.
excited for a 40? You can't even get to university with a 40 with this." So it's the education system.
Well, if we're on that note, listen. Be proud of yourself. What were your two A's?
Business
hello.
Studies.
Uh-huh.
All right. And hello.
Hello. Well, listen, you functioned.
What's hello?
Life orientation. Life skills. I think it was life skills.
What is your exam? Walking to school without being hijacked.
Yes, it just basically means you're a functioning human being.
Yeah, life
skills.
And you can cope.
That's it.
Skills,
it was so tough for me. Like, I had business economics. That was like the cop out because I just hated math.
What was that? Just like
It was like starting a business and what you need to do. It was like just basic common sense. It was just common sense.
Did it factor in accounting?
Elements. And maths. Yeah, because I hated math because I had to do extra lessons. If to do extra lessons in math meant that no less time to play sport. So I thought this is just stupid.
Oh, wow.
And at that stage, my parents had stopped caring about whether I was going to become something.
Oh.
And they were like, yeah, cool, go ahead.
Yeah.
So and you had an option not to do math?
Yeah.
Oh.
And as a complete and utter average child, I took the low road.
Is that really being average, though? As someone who...
Yeah, I think all kids should persevere with math because there's elements of problem solving that you really do need. And even if you calculate, get better. Just don't do what I did.
But wouldn't you have wished at a age where you really knew what you wanted to do? And really, this is the exception. A lot of kids are so up in their own heads and their heads are all over the place. But some kids really know what they want to do. And so from primary school, you already know, I want to be out on a soccer pitch and I want to be...
I disagree. So I think...
Like, I knew from a very young age, I knew that, listen, I was not going to be wearing a lab coat. I was not going to be figuring out the cure for cancer. I was just going to be somewhere on the beach sipping cocktails and I'll find a way for people to pay me.
That's not what you
want
to do in life.
It is.
So you basically wanted to be a rent boy or a gigolo.
No.
Miss, I know what I want to do in life. Yes, saying, dear, what would you like to do?
I'm just saying it would be delightful to host a Cliff Central show from a cruise. Cliff Central cruise. There we go. With a cocktail in my hand, you know.
I think every kid has no understanding, because how would you ever know what you want to do in life if you don't know what life is?
Yeah,
so whenever people go to these, well, we're going to have a career guidance night tonight and we're all going to meet here at 7, you're going to find your career.
Yeah.
You barely found your balls at that stage. Now you want to find a career.
True.
What it is, it's great because it gives you understanding of what's available out there. And going back to the whole math thing, I remember there was this massive chart, and like it still sticks to me today, and this big headline saying, you want to drop maths? And you're like, yeah, of course.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, say goodbye to these careers. And it was like,
oh wow.
It's like this long list. I was like, well, yeah, who cares? I'm 15. I'm a dumbass. What am I going to do with that? But to have those career orientation things, it's pretty important because
like,
I always believe they should have done things differently when talking to kids. They should have gone, okay, you see this car, you see this house, you see these holidays. Do you like all of these things? And you would go, yeah, totally. It's like, well, you're going to get none of that shit if you're going to quit math right now. You're going to get none of that shit if you don't apply yourself right now. Obviously, there's exceptions because it's not going to be the be-all and end-all, because some people are illiterate when they leave school and become millionaires. But because kids should be a bit more generically looked at. Uh-huh. I know everyone's a snowflake in a special case, but they should be given more blanket approaches. It's like, look, this is economics of life. You need money. You need to save. You need to invest. You need to not be a dumbass.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds quite 80s to say all these kind of things, but sometimes kids just need, like, actual facts, like here in the middle.
Yeah.
Like a basic understanding. Because I look at my nephew, I look at other kids his age right now. The world is going to be an absolute shock when he gets to a place where someone doesn't praise him for everything he does. It's like, oh my gosh, you threw that in the bin. Oh, well done.
No.
You know, that's why we hired you.
Okay.
But I have to disagree with the maths thing.
I do as well.
Okay,
you justify why.
Yeah, you go ahead, because I'm the person who threw it away. So...
Because
it is already
the mind boggles where I could have been in life right now.
No, because there's so many different careers and so many people want different things. And maths is not really the center of it. And we have to also understand that the same way some maths kids are not good in English, and you see it throughout university, accounting kids are horrible when it comes to English. You know, you get your media, your BA students who are horrible in maths because we're not programmed the same. And if you look at I know Sweden has a very nice system they use for education, mm-hmm. where they actually take the kids according to what they're good at, and they groom them from a young age of, uh-huh. on what they use the psychological tests. So if you're not good in maths, you're not really, you don't get focused on the maths careers. Uh-huh. You get to focus on that a certain career that your ability is in, because some kids are really, I'm horrible with numbers, but I just discovered I'm not really that bad. But I thought I was really bad in maths, and I always wanted to be a lawyer or a politician, yeah. or in media. So I never really needed maths. So it just depends on, you know, where your kid's talent is. Some kids are really horrible in school in general. So you need to really nurture what they're good in, because if you frustrate them putting them in spaces where they feel dumb.
Yeah.
I remember our teacher used to say, "You're so dumb." I'm like, "No, I'm not."
Yeah, see, it's teachers like that.
Like, I'm not dumb.
You're not dumb, you're differently stimulated.
Exactly. Like, look,
yeah, okay, you know I totally see where you're going, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah.
And
but when I look at things the way I am now, not that I'm saying my life's a disaster, but you've always got to look at things about, you've got to try do things that are harder than where you are in life. Because comfort zones make you nothing. So even though we're going to do a radio show right now, and none of us need maths. Oddly, I am the best person on this show when it comes to numbers, and I'm the only one who can do maths amongst us, the four, the team.
Oh, wow.
Like, Gareth, the guy looks like he can only use an abacus. My buddy Malloy is a smart woman with probably the most hectic of degree of all of us.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, numbers smack her in the face massive cock every morning. She has no idea if it's coming or not.
What
a nice analogy. Okay.
But with me, I like numbers. I just didn't like math because I wanted to play sport rather than be academic. So I had a point there. I've just lost all train of thought again. Sorry, I was making him a buddy analogy.
But you were saying to stimulate yourself to learn more.
Even though we'll never need geometry and finding X because X keeps getting lost. Oh, is X. That it how it applies your mind to challenges, I think is where I was going with that. And and so often we always just have a cop-out feature in life. Whereas that, it gives you some staying power. So even though you'll never use it again after school, if someone gives you an opportunity to do something and you're like, I don't know if I can do that, a mathematical mind, a mathematical application, if nothing else, will find a way. And I think on that point, balancing with yours, is that, sure, don't focus on the crap. Go ahead and be a journalist or be a crook or whatever it is. Maths will give you the opportunity to apply your mind to something.
Okay.
I should work for Master Maths. Is that still a thing?
You should have.
It is.
Is that still a thing?
It is.
I used to hate
Master Maths. Maths.
Yes.
They're smart something now.
They're 40,000.
You see, because they use maths to get richer. They were like, how can we get more kids here? Let's make smart something.
I think there's a general consensus, and I think we're all beginning to agree with each other here. We aren't saying let's just throw maths out of the window.
Yeah.
I think there's a certain element of it, but I also think the same way the system, and maybe this conversation is, you know, 50 years ahead of its time, particularly in South Africa.
Yeah.
The same way the system is situated and constructed for people who are just book smart, I think there should be more school of the arts, because
I was just about to get into that.
I absolutely wish I went to the school of the arts, because then I would have had more time. And I went to a high school where they forced us to do maths and they forced us to do physical science. But I sat in a class in grade 11 where literally before my maths teacher handed me one of my test results, she looked at me after I had actually hosted an event at school and I'd spoken in front of the parents and the whole school. And she looked at me and she said, "Sia, I suggest after seeing you last night, you just stick to doing that." And then she handed me my results.
Jesus, you two have horrible teachers.
Okay. Wow. Thank you.
I can say that in a patronizing sense.
But it's true. But if I had, you know, been in a different system and I'd learned a smaller percentage of maths and been stronger in linguistics and maybe things would have been different. But anyway,
But to get to Snuzzle's point about Sweden, so Sweden are very musically orientated.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they invented pop music and all that kind of stuff. And they've got, still to this day, more than half the pop music in the world is written by one Swedish man. But now, when kids have the opportunity to feel like they're in an environment you don't want to feel dumb in, so say, for instance, you've got a kid who just wants to dance and, you know, all that kind of stuff, that confidence can then go into other subjects. So even though the kids still go do maths and they feel stupid, but they're nailing musical arts and all that kind of stuff. And at least it makes them feel happier as well. So it's, you've got to have that sort of balance. It's not like, do this, you can't do that. Okay, you're stupid. No, no, you're stupid if you think a kid's stupid. You, you like bad teachers make bad kids.
Oh, preach, well, we all preach.
That is true.
Yeah.
See, are we all canvases in the art of life?
That your analogies this morning are just hitting me.
So yeah, basically, I think you're only stupid enough if your mom drinks for 9 months. I'm no doctor.
You are no philosopher, but you're preaching the truth this morning. Someone on WhatsApp says, glad you brought the matric pass rates up. Did you see that less than 10% qualified for a diploma and less than 2% on university entrance? Isn't below a diploma a waste?
No, it's not. It's not. I will justify that. It is not a waste, right? There are options, obviously, if you want to go and upgrade the certificate.
Okay.
But what the government has done, and maybe this is an argument point, we've got what we call the FET systems, which are your TVET systems, where they take those students who, for instance, don't qualify for university and say, we'll teach you practical, you know, they're more practical. They're more for students who are not as, I'm not going to say as intelligent, because that's not true.
Sure,
because
okay.
there are kids who have passed with bachelor's in TVET. But it's for kids who, for instance, got a higher certificate or a diploma and don't qualify for a university and to have an opportunity to attain a higher education. So you can, it's not really a waste depending on if you know what's available for you. But there are options. You can go upgrade it. But even if you attain that higher certificate, because some people really can't get higher than that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there are options for those people to say, you know what, there are other institutions of higher learning that you can attend with that higher certificate. You may not be getting a diploma or a degree, but you can work towards a diploma and a degree.
So I hear you there, but also I think another thing to look at is, are these people really applying themselves enough? Because I know with tons of people in my matric year, they were just sailing through and not caring at all. And I think, don't waste your opportunities as
that's
well.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so it also depends on where you are for those opportunities.
True.
Because they are, you know, they are different spaces. You've got your rural schools, which have the lowest in terms of pass rate and also resources, and your township schools. And then you've got your schools in your urban areas, which have more resources, even though they're all state-owned. So it also depends where we are.
Yeah.
Depends on our demographics and our location.
Okay, and then Quinton says 98% pass rate for matric. CR, are you insane? Do you listen to yourself? Well, Quinton, not only do I listen to myself, I'm just reading the facts. So I don't know.
No, Quinton, it's for fancy private schools where if you don't pass, then your children actually do sell you for meat.
Yeah,
well, we're not talking general across the board.
It's IEB. These are the IEB results. And then someone commenting from yesterday's talk, they said, good morning, Ben, Sia, and Snazza. One of the reasons Cape Town have not done the desalination plant till now is because it is Israeli technology, and the South African government does not want to work with Israelis because of the BDS, which is a boycott, divestment, and sanction movement.
The apartheid that's
okay. So, that sounds mature. I mean,
actually,
we need water. Can we not just squabble at other things post the primaries? Oh my gosh, that guy's going to extract water from the sea. We need that, but no. Let's look at more about where he's from. We've got to get into bigger issues in life. We really do.
Well, tell that to our government as well.
Well, can't, because they never listen.
Well, exactly.
So you said we should get water from, get the technology from Israel?
We should get water.
Yeah.
We should get water.
Full stop.
I mean,
make friends with anyone. Like, girl, you're changing your face. Are you saying you're
from Israel? Have you seen what's been happening there?
Have you seen some of the smartest people in the world come from Israel? I mean, this isn't Nazi Germany when we're getting their doctors, but we're getting technology we need in order to help people.
For me, if it's not coming directly from Israel, then I support it. But if it comes from Israel, the country, and from its government, I don't support it. So
are you telling me it's more important to not have water than to have an ideological standpoint?
So can I ask you, imagine had South Africa not been sanctioned during the apartheid period, mm-hmm. right? Would our government have acted as swiftly as they had? Because de Klerk didn't really end apartheid because
the politicians coming out.
He didn't end the apartheid. He didn't end apartheid because, you know, he wanted Mandela free. He ended because of what was happening to South Africa. You know, economically we were getting sanctioned. Our people, the people then were playing sports and stuff like that, weren't allowed to play sports. There were so many things that were coming down South Africa. The pressure was mounting on him. It wasn't because he cared that black people were oppressed. He didn't. It was because of what was happening to his own people. They were starting to suffer for what they were doing in South Africa. Same thing with Israel. For us to say now we care more, why not find other ways? I'm sure we can find, China can probably duplicate that technology.
Yeah, because China are a great example of humanitarianism and fair trade.
I'm saying, but they at this moment, China is better than Israel for me with where they are. Like, Israel is oppressing Palestinians, and we've been there as black people in South Africa, and for our government, a black government who was part of the struggle, to go say, Israel, can we have your technology? We'll put that aside, the fact that you're doing to the Palestinians what was done to us. Nah. Like, it can't happen.
I think this is about a 27-minute discussion, but it's 6:30, and we need to get to the five things you need to know.
Okay, do you know what? Actually, just before we get into the five things you need to know, I want to play a quick song, ne? We're going to shake things up a bit this morning.
What is this, Friday night, yeah?
It's Friday night, and I know, never mind. I was going to quote Brenda Fassie, and then it was going to go somewhere bizarre. This is actually going to lead me to one of our five things that you need to know this morning. So it's quite a cool song. It's Portugal the Man with Feel It Still. And so take a quick listen to this, and then straight afterwards, I'll be chatting to you more about this song and the five things you need to know this morning. Good morning.
Hi.
Well, thanks, Brent. Okay, so that was Portugal the Man with Feel It Still. Isn't that quite a bit of a jam?
Yes, yeah. All of 27 it was. 2017 it was.
There we go. So may I explain why I brought this fantastic song up?
Because you heard that song at a club over the holidays and you met eyes with someone delightful. And then it's words of Patrick Swayze, you actually had the time of your life.
Quite the contrary. So firstly, let me just say, let's get into the five things you need to know this morning. Brought to you by our great folks at Calcacchio Pizzeria. Listen, if you are looking at the new year, actually discount any other New Year's resolutions except for one, which is number one, if you haven't by now, get the Calcacchio Pizzeria app.
You mean discredit?
Yeah, what did I say?
Discount.
Yeah, discounts. That's also another Ben, is English not your first language?
I think it was. I don't know.
English is a very colourful and wide spectrum of terms and phrases.
All right,
so yes.
don't discount me. Carry on.
Discount any other New Year's resolutions except for getting the Calcacchio Pizzeria app and, you know, go up the ranks. Make sure you become a maestro by the end of the year. So here are the five things you need to know. The first one is, I know, listen, this guy is still the coolest in my books. You know, Obama, the former Prezi of the United States, released his list of what he read and what he listened to in 2017. So he did this annually while he was still in the White House, and he's still doing this now. So if you want to take a quick look at what he's been reading, we'll put that up on cliffcentral.com as well. But some of his favorite songs of 2017 are actually quite the big jammers, including this one, Portugal the Man with Feel It Still, which we just played in a bit. So I thought for this morning, for some of our songs, we can actually rather play some of the songs that Obese, the Prezi of the United States, likes. So just because he's the coolest and because I'm running the desk this morning, well, do you have to just go with it?
There's like a moment there where I just had no idea what you're talking about.
Obese, because he's so cool, you don't call him Obama, you call him Obese, and he's not the president, he's a Prezi.
Yeah.
The United States, yeah, exactly. And also the first story that you need to know this morning on the notes of President Obama. Actually, I don't know, President Trump, you might have to step aside for this one because the results of a new poll are in and he, President Trump, has to step aside because Barack Obama is the most admired man according to this poll of 2017. This what? Is the Gallup poll and the poll results mark the first time since 2018 that a sitting president of the United States hasn't been awarded the honor of most admirable. And listen, are we really shocked though because of how people don't exactly think Trump is their favorite. So Obama won the title in a close call. According to the research, 17% of participants deemed Obama the most admirable and 14% named Trump. So if anything, the close vote is more of a surprise, actually. To accompany Obama's Man of the Year title, Gallup found that crooked Hillary Clinton to be the most admirable woman of the year. So Clinton,
this sounds like quite a skewed audience. So people love skewed. Obama and crooked Hillary.
So number one, but I get the Obama and Hillary together, you know, because if you're a Democrat, you roll with that. But Obama was first, Trump was second, and most admirable. Interesting. Yeah.
So, where do they get those?
Yeah, this Gallup poll and who they tallied for the service is very, the survey is very interesting. Clinton, with a 9% poll, passed Michelle Obama by 2%. And interestingly enough, Obama and Clinton have maintained the title together for the past 10 years. Now, Clinton has received the title of the most admirable woman more than any other, marking 16 years in a row and 22 times altogether. So it's interesting that this whole list has a political spin to it as well, because Eleanor Roosevelt comes in second, has been named 13 times as the most admirable woman.
What a crap. It's admirable politician stuff. Politicians aren't admirable. They're just the biggest kiss-asses that go through life and then eventually get given these titles.
Well, yeah.
What about people who are saving children or puppies or creating, I don't know, what food for people?
What about Oprah Winfrey on the list?
Well, obviously. See, I mean, it goes without saying.
There we go.
Oprah's what making should happen in
what
life.
What about
not
Mr.
lying.
Gary Player
exactly.
on the list?
These aren't people who lie for popularity votes. These are people who actually do things in society.
Thank you, Ben. Let's just look at it in that way.
If you look at crooked Hillary's life, her entire life is dedicated to try to become the president.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it didn't happen. So, bad luck. I mean, I once tried to do a puzzle with 3,000 pieces. Didn't happen. I failed. I moved on. I didn't make it everyone else's problem.
You know, she's still doing the interview rounds and talking about
it.
Because she's making money out of it, and she still can't believe what happened.
I'll get the clip for you. We'll play just after 7 about like how horrible it was for her to attend the inauguration of Trump.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, the second story that you need to know this morning, the 5 things that you need to know, is that the Steinhoff accounting scandal dates further back than we actually think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I reckon, please, Showmax or whoever, please make a series about this.
The Steinhoff.
Oh, yeah.
Because it could be the essay's version of, like, House of Cards or whatever. You can call it what you want. But, I reckon there's a story here.
As much as we appreciate Tully's wedding diaries, can we also just have this?
There was a lot of talk last year about, you know, obviously there's a lot of folks in government being corrupt and all that kind of stuff. But the private enterprises who are... They'll be the first to say, we know we've got to take a stand against corruption and this government is rotten, all this kind of stuff. I'm not going to disagree with that. But they also have these convenient little loopholes where they're doing dodgy things. And I think a great hard-hitting show, and Steinhoff obviously can be the catalyst to this happening, can be exposed. It'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. So the accounting scandal rocking the embattled Stellenbosch-based furniture and household goods retailer Steinhoff is still growing. Steinhoff International Holdings, the group's Amsterdam registered parent company, yesterday announced in an investor update that more of its already published financial results would need to be restated and could not be relied on. Oh, snap, credibility gone down the drain, as if it hadn't gone down the drain by now. So Steinhoff last month said that its 2017 audited results had been put on hold while PwC conducts an independent investigation into accounting irregularities. It has also previously warned...
Theft, just call it theft.
No,
I love how they say accounting irregularities.
In inverted commas, Nochal, you always have to be PC about this. Accounting irregularities. It has also previously warned investors to not rely on the figures contained in its 2016 results. What are you basically saying about yourself as you state something like this? We are shit.
Yeah, maybe not what we wanted to be in the public eye.
Oh, that's another politically correct spin off on things. So yesterday morning,
we've got an alternative route to success.
Everything. There's a great way to spin everything. On Tuesday morning, they added that the 2015 financial results of the Steinhoff International Holdings Property Limited, the conglomerate's former listed umbrella holding company, could not be relied on. This is their official quote from their statement. They say, furthermore, whilst the internal review and investigation into the accounting irregularities have not yet concluded, the restatement of the financial statements of Steinhoff International Holdings Proprietary Limited, my goodness, a mouthful, for years prior to 2015 is likely to be required, and investors in Steinhoff are advised to exercise caution in relation to such statements. Ugh, you messy, messy people. The third thing that you need to know this morning, and the five things that you need to know, a foreign official was arrested yesterday afternoon after 21 bags of an expensive ingredient used in the production of drugs was found in his room at a guest house in Kempton Park.
Sounds like a very long-winded way of saying cocaine.
Whatever ingredient
it is. An expensive ingredient
is.
Used in drugs.
Ah, no, but 21 bags of it, bro, in a guest house in Kempton Park, which is in the east of Johannesburg. This is a 43-year-old man was arrested on a charge of possession of an illicit substance after the Ekurhuleni Metro Police Department Drug Enforcement Unit received a tip-off. So, actually, here's the ingredient. Ephedrine is a product often used in the production of addictive drugs, such as
Or maybe the butcher's where we get in shape, eh? He just wanted to hit the gym.
Oh, really? Does it also go into, like...
Well, look, ephedrine speed, you're not going to really slow down.
But do you really need 21 bags of it?
It's 52 weeks in the year. 52 weeks in the year, but plus H2 at the end.
Actually, he could go with that spin in court. Like, new year, new me, new clapping of the butt, new clapping of the trip. EMPD spokesperson, Chief Superintendent Wilfred Khasago, said the bags, which weighed 1 kilogram each, had a total street value of around 1.3 million rands, with one bag valued at about 60,000 rands. In a statement, they said information received pointed to the effort being temporarily housed at the identified guest house destined for manufacturing plants. Okay. The man is due to appear in the Kempton Park Magistrates Court soon. Well, okay.
Yeah, look, it's quite a bust that because what he had could probably be spun or thinned out into like another 10 times of quantity of something else because you mix it with all kinds of other shit. That's how drugs eventually come out. You'll never get pure drugs on the street.
So something with a street value of 1.3 million, he was going to make like
he was
well, look,
a
you'd,
fortune.
It's an active ingredient to a variety of things that make you, change.
Man. Oh, okay. Another thing that you need to know this morning, music legend Robbie Malinga's wife, Anne, said yesterday at the music legend's funeral that she's heartbroken that her husband died so young but counts her blessings. Malinga's colleagues and friends paid tribute to him during his final send-off at a funeral in Randburg yesterday. The music producer influenced many young artists like Karabo and Dando Bangani, who performed at the ceremony as well. So reading from a letter written by Anne Malinga, a family representative told mourners that she will cling to the sweet memories they shared as a married couple. In the letter, she stated, "You made marriage such a precious institute by just loving, respecting, protecting, providing, and allowing me to be myself." She says she knows Malinga's in a better place now without cancer. She continued in the letters to state, "God saw you going through pain daily. An earthly cure was lacking, then he welcomed you to heaven." So Malinga's wife says her life will never be the same without him by her side from this day on. So, yeah, that's kind of a sad one. That's also something we forgot to chat about yesterday.
Malinga's it was his funeral yesterday.
Yeah, passing on Christmas Day.
Oh, that was the saddest thing, hey? He's such a legend.
Yeah.
Like, but his funeral was so beautiful. It was, did you watch it?
I don't know. I don't like to watch things like that. It's still death to me, and death is kind of weird.
The amount of artists that are passing away every year is really scary now. Almost every year, we're saying goodbye to at least 2 to 3.
Yeah, all I'm saying is 2 years ago on Christmas Day it was George Michael. Last year on Christmas Day it was Robbie Malinga. So
it's becoming a trend.
Well, not a nice trend. Like, can it stop now? Yeah. Another thing that you need to know this morning, unfortunately as well, at least 36 people were killed in Peru yesterday when a bus collided with a truck and careened off a cliff along a sharply curving highway north of the capital in Lima, the country's health ministry have said. The accident took place on the Pan-American Norte Highway near the area of Pasamayo. I'm sorry, I did not pronounce any of that with a bit of an accent, the ministry said on Twitter. Six people survived the crash and were being treated for injuries, while the government rushed emergency medical services to the site. President Pedro Pablo tweeted, "From the first moment I arranged all immediate support for the rescue of the victims in this emergency." So road accidents are common in Peru because of unsafe highways. Police are investigating.
Yeah, everything seems to be on the side of a mountain as well.
Because everything is on the side of a mountain.
In Peru.
Yeah. It's a dangerous curve zone, one of the authorities said. And I love how they're just speaking about the casually. But are you actually going to do anything about it? So, yeah, those are the things that you need to know. I lost count. Were that four? Or did I reach five?
Yeah, it sounded like 12.
It sounded like a lot. That's like good, tomorrow. Right? Fantastic. I played my part in all of that this morning. But Ben, let's go straight into sport this morning. But sport is brought to you, of course, as it is every single morning by Land Rover Menland. So if you have, and it's still technically summer, if you have been single for the summer, but didn't quite manage to get that beach body over winter, well, don't despair, because at least there's something more attractive than a new car, especially when you only have to pay for it in March. So Menland Land Rover are offering you a Range Rover Sport today that you only have to start paying for from March the 1st in 2018. For more on this attractive offer, you just have to simply head over to menland.landrover.co.za or give them a call on 012-369-2400 to arrange a test drive, or better yet, actually head down to the new improved Land Rover Menland.
Just go with Menland's here. Thanks.
I think that's easier. Menland, which is located at 221 Grasfontein Road, which is just off the N1 highway in Menland. Ben, are you ready for it? Time for your sport?
Yeah, let's do it, Sia. Was that theme music coming through?
Yes, absolutely. I'm trying to be, you know, on the ball with all of these different things. There we go. Let's go straight to Ben with sport. And see,
you
theme
need,
music.
You need like four hands at the desk, don't you? Yeah. Right, so still, okay, see, let's return down a bit. Yeah.
We're getting there.
Okay, let's get it together here. So, there's still a bugger all to really talk about sports wise because we are so early in Jan. But there was Premier League action last night, and Man City won again. They were just all over. It doesn't really matter who the opposition is nowadays because they just seem to win. Back to winning ways after that Crystal Palace little upset of a draw. 3-1 over Watford. And, Spurs, they also played against Swansea last night. A pretty dank and horrible Welsh evening. They won that one 2-0. So nothing really changing. But I can tell you what is going to become more interesting is that the Absa Premiership, that kicks off on Friday again. So they took a bit of a break over the festive season. But Friday we'll see IS Cape Town versus Maritzburg United at 8. And then Wits will take on Free State Stars. Now Wits have had what can only be described as a dreadful, dreadful season. They are the defending champions of the league. But they're at the bottom of the table. Absolute bottom of the table. But they've made some new signings and they feel pretty confident that their team is sort of settled and the first choice players are all there to be chosen and have had some game time together. So maybe this is going to be the catalyst. It's hard to say that they could really come back and win this league. I'm going to go with no. Because, you know, Sundowns are Sundowns and there will be better teams that will have the staying power. But if they can just get back to winning ways and just show some momentum going next season, I'm pretty sure that would be the only focus. It sounds horribly cliche to say that, but this is what sport is. You've got to stick to your basics, and you've really just got to, like, cut out all the crap. That's all it is. And that's how you become better. So, yeah, that's it. That is how you become better.
Note to self. Thank you, Ben.
But this Friday is going to be the big day for cricket because, well, the Ashes is back on. So you can wake up nice and early because they're playing in Sydney, which is in the far east coast of Australia. And, well, England are talking about making some changes, but do we really care? The series is done. The exciting thing we're looking at is the India versus SA series. So, India, pretty shit when it comes to playing in SA. They've won 2 out of the previous 17 test matches played in the land of freedom and sunrise and rainbows and all that kind of stuff. But is this going to be another example of form repeating itself? India have got a very experienced team. 13 of this squad have already played in SA, led by Virat Kohli, who is, well, according to Indian people, one of the greatest persons of all time, actual greatest humans. Ravi Shastri is the coach, so they're bringing a whole wealth of experience and abilities. They're also the top test ranked team side in the entire world. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, because they only play at home. And yes, you're correct. They play at home, so they'll play on the batting-friendly spinning surfaces where they have the advantage of everybody. Prior to doing that, though, they've played a whole bunch of cricket away, so it all balanced out. As much as I still believe there's some skullduggery in the fixturing, this is going to be a great test for SA right now because they should be the favourites. They really should be. But the first test match we played at Newlands, and like I said yesterday, there's not much water down there right now because they don't want Israeli desalinization plants. So what is going to happen is they're going to have a slower, more turning pitch at Newlands. It'll be drier. And, well, things might point towards a draw. But what does this mean for team selection? Well, it'll be possible to think that Otis Gibson will go for a full-out seam attack. Alan Donald believes that it should be just 4 seamers and they should really just try rattle Indians right from ball one. But if you haven't got a pitch that's going to be conducive to that, how do you leave Keshav Maharaj out? Simple as that. He's become such a great performer for the Proteas. He's pretty handy down the tail end with the bat. And do you really want to risk Dale Steyn if it's just 3 seamers then? I don't know. There's a lot of contemplation here. I just think that you've got to go with the spinner at Newlands, especially with the conditions where they are right now. They're going to be very hot and dry. And I'll go with that. Maybe Steyn's not going to make the first team. Sorry, the first test, because how do you not have Morkel, who has been the star performer, especially in the horrible English series? You got Philander playing at home, you'll never leave him out, plus he is who he is. And then you got Kakisa Rabada, you'd never leave him out because he is the future and he is the now. And when you think about it, he has been the past 2 years too. So for Steyn to get back in this team is going to be difficult, but I think that's a great thing for SA cricket because it just shows we've got amazing depth. And post that, well, the test match in Centurion will be very quick, because we do have water up here in the Gauteng. Same with the Wanderers, very quick. So, India, your chance of doing anything meaningful in this test series will come from Friday through to Tuesday, if you can make it 5 days. Well, it's Michael Schumacher's birthday today. That is if he's still alive.
Oh.
I know, it's dramatic, huh? That's going to turn a head or two. Because we've heard nothing about the now supposedly 49-year-old ex-Formula One driver. Always a private figure. Ever since this horrible, horrible accident happened where he was skiing and he basically fell off a bit of a cliff and he hit his head, even though he was wearing all the safety precautions that were needed, it's just, we haven't heard from him. He's basically been in a coma for all this time, and there's been some strange tributes that have come out to him, which I think have happened because it's been a slow news week. There's not a lot to talk about in sport right now, but also because maybe there's some word that's come out that he really is just not going to come back. But how, we've spoken about this the last 2 years alone, how do you come back as a functioning human being if you've been in a coma for 4 years? I mean, firstly, if you were to tell him what's happening in the world right now, try explain Bitcoin to him, try explain Trump to him, all these things, he'll probably die of shock. So this guy, he's going to battle to come back. If he's still alive, if there's any kind of value or any kind of level of enjoyment that he can get out of life, then great, go ahead. If the machine can give him that, that's great. But it's just so sad that there's no news come out whatsoever. And I tell you what, no matter how private you are, if you had some good news, you would share it with the world. I don't mean to sound doom and gloom, but that's kind of, I think, what's kind of really going on here. But 49, happy birthday.
I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah, 49.
I thought he was younger. Like 20-something.
Aye. I know. How's that even possible?
I don't know. The last time I heard about him, I was still young, and he was
Bye.
Snazzo, between that and I don't watch Black Mirror, I don't know.
Really don't know where to place you right now.
We just don't know.
Things are not looking good for you. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
He had tons of money, right? So he can sit in the coma for as long as possible.
Yeah, because he was like great for 20 years. So in Snazzo's case, he started at F1 at the age of 7.
Yeah. I just googled his net worth, $800 million. What? So, well,
Well, guys, he dominated a very rich sport. Like, he was F1 for so long. So much so, people felt that F1 was so boring because basically...
He would win.
The lights would go red, orange, green, whatever, and then he would win.
Oh, wow. He's richer than Beyonce and Jay-Z put together.
I think Beyonce and Jay-Z would have more than 800 million, don't they?
No, Beyonce's got 100 and something million.
This is too much to
keep. Yeah, well, like we need to address this in the second hour. Because, I mean, I don't even like Beyonce. I'm pretty sure she's got more than 100 million. In fact, I'll bet 100 million on someone else's money.
They quoted in
she
a
does
song
not
that
have, she has a more than 100 million.
They quoted in their song that they're worth a billion. But we digress.
Really? Okay, so let's go back to sports.
You're like the worst young person I've ever met this year. You don't even know who Beyonce is.
I don't know pop culture, guys.
So bad.
Right, so what I was going to do this morning was kind of get into what you can look forward to for the month of July. Golf-wise, quite a lot, actually. It's the SA Open, 11th of Jan, right here in South Africa. 11th of Jan, the end of the SA Open. It's like Lindauer. It's a great tournament. There's no huge names. I know Mike Weir has been added to the roster, but Mike Weir, he won the Masters and then did very little after that. So it's a bit of a stretch thinking he's going to be a big crowd puller. But all the big SA stars are here, which is a really good thing. Then the European Tour goes to... they'll also be in Malaysia that week, and then they go to Abu Dhabi, which is the big HSBC Championship. So that's a real big deal. On the USPGA Tour, they've got the Hawaii Swing right now. So it's the Century Tournament Champions this weekend. And then next weekend, it's the Sony Open. And then it's the... these weird names, the Career Builder Challenge in California, then the more conventional Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. So Tiger
Farmers
Woods might be playing in that one.
Insurance Open.
Well, how these tournaments work is that
that makes golf sound so exciting.
I mean, literally, there could be the CS Anguini Open. If you've got the money, you want to put it down, you can have your own tournament. Go ahead.
That's a new level of wealth I should aspire to.
But if you are looking at other sporting attractions in this month, well, there's a Dakar Rally. Some people really love that. And that starts Saturday. That's the Dakar Rally, where they just literally drive through all kinds of strange places in South America. There's lots of darts to look forward to. There's the women's indoor bowls. But in a more serious note, there's obviously the Aussie Open, which is the big thing in tennis. That'll start from the 15th and go through to the 28th of January. That's the first Grand Slam of the year. Roger Federer is the defending champion there. You got the African Men's Handball Championship for all the handball fans out there. That's on the 17th. Otherwise, like I'm going to be straight with you. There's very little happening in Jan. Simply, there's very little happening in Jan. Okay. The sevens in Sydney. Wait, I had that right now. Yeah, so these sevens in Sydney, they'll take place on the 26th to the 28th of January. Otherwise, bugger all. So, do things around the house in January. How about that? Here's my top tip today for the sport. And we'll end on that.
Screw all of the sports watching thing. As soon as I heard you mention handball, I'm like, well, that's a bit of a stretch.
There's also the British Championships for diving.
Diving.
Yeah. If you're into diving, I'll tell you what, 26th, 28th of January.
This is your time.
Happening.
You have your time of your life is coming.
What are these people who say you do not cover various sports? Like, there you go.
I do a lot.
Handball, diving, and the Farmers Insurance Open. That's the way to go. Thank you, Ben, for the sports. That's the sports brought to you by Land Rover Menlyn. So you can head over to Land Rover Menlyn for amazing, amazing deals, car deals, and start paying for new cars by March this year. Do you know what we forgot to do? Actually, all my fault. Straight after news, we did not go for
the cryptocurrencies.
A Bitcoin update.
Yes, well, I tell you what, Ethereum is still doing really, really well. Bitcoin, it's settled. I think it's settling.
Settled.
It's not settled because it's a tradable thing, so it'll never settle. But it's got to a point where things are not looking so dire. It has come back a bit.
Uh-huh.
If you were to go through the Luno app, which is what I think what most of us first timers have gone through, you'll find that the current Bitcoin price has gone past the 200,000 mark again, so which is encouraging. And Ethereum, well, that's just looking like a much better bet right now. That is up to, well, almost the 12,000 rand mark. So they've all took a bit of a break over the holiday season, but we will have Run coming in a few weeks' time, so he'll give us a proper update of all the other cryptos that you might be involved in outside of the main two.
Perfect. Thanks, Ben. Okay, so time for Said by Sia, and folks, here's a new name you should know down this morning, something to inspire you, actually, as you also get your working year started, the new year started, if you want to achieve some big, massive goals. So you can list alongside Charlize Theron and Trevor Noah a Francois Bloemhof, because that is a Cape Townian author who's now breaking into Hollywood with a new movie screenplay. Oh. So Francois is a prolific writer of adult, teenage and youth fiction who has written close to 80 titles and is now going to Hollywood. So this versatile writer who's done a wide variety of adult work explores thriller and supernatural and more conventional dramatic themes. But for his Hollywood debut, he'll be writing the screenplay of a movie with a thriller and sci-fi slant. So firstly, congratulations to him for making that happen. So apart from being a full-time writer, Bloemhof is obsessed with film. He says that he watches movies and series daily as part of his research and owns a massive DVD and Blu-ray collection. And on the local front, he's not an unknown when it comes to movies as well, actually. He's been involved in a number of successful screenplays and novels based in South Africa, notably But Na Yo Heart and Vir Altyd and Vir Die Fools. Luister, my Afrikaans is prachtig this morning. His first fiction title that was filmed is based on Doodskoot, which the English title is Double Echo, and that was published in 2016. So on how he cracked the whole Hollywood thing, a friend actually was the one who encouraged him to pitch for the screenplay for Hollywood. So cleverly, he took the outline of this old Afrikaans thriller, which was published back in 1997, which is Die Nag Besoeker, and gave it a sci-fi twist, and so The Night Visitor was born. So the plot centers around the story of a successful city model whose sister is murdered in a coastal town, but hers is not the only murder that takes place. So this is kind of juicy. The model, who's already in a relationship, visits the town and becomes attracted to a man who recently moved there, and then strange things begin to happen. So friends react unexpectedly, and then she comes to the conclusion that in the city, no one is to be trusted. So according to Bloemhof's Facebook page, he'll be writing the screenplay of this movie himself. So in November of 2007, Francois Bloemhof's two latest titles were published by a new independent publishing outfit, and he's now cracked the Hollywood nod. So there we go. This is a name to remember for 2018. And once again, from us to him, Francois Bloemhof, congratulations to you for cracking that Hollywood nod. There we go. How about we have some Hollywood ambitions for this year, folks?
Right.
Is that not asking for a lot?
What does Hollywood ambition really mean nowadays? That just sounds like you're about to interfere with someone sexually.
Hollywood ambitions without a Harvey Weinstein-ness.
I'm sorry, that place is so tainted. You can't tell me the word Hollywood is going to give you any respectability anymore. Oh,
thanks for an optimistic view on things.
Yeah, you know I'm optimistic, but come on, let's call an orange an orange.
Listen, there's so much more to get to. That's the first hour of the Gareth Cliff Show done this morning. Straight after this, you know, after this little break, we'll get into some more of your messages. There's a lot, actually, from our conversation earlier that people are also commenting on. And there's news to get to. We'll be looking at some different trending topics, etc., etc. But as I said a little earlier on, we're looking at some of the music that was listened to and liked by President Obama in 2017. There are actually some good tunes, and so this is a big one from last year, and this is one that President Obama thought, listen folks, you ought to be listening to this as well. So first hour of the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com, done and dusted.
This is cliffcentral.com.